Mummy Matters.
Welcome to episode 11 of Mummy Matters. This is Ruth and Pam, your host, and we'll be talking about our fears, hopes, and dreams as mothers this season.
So today we will be talking about the dilemma faced by parents when they give their children freedom and privacy in their online interaction with others. How should I educate my child? How much freedom is too much? Am I suffocating my child?
We'll also be discussing studies that have assessed the kind of risks that children are facing online and how parents can mitigate these risks.
As a mother of four, I feel this fear and unease very strongly when it comes to internet use, because I realize it is only this generation of children that are like such active internet users at a really, really young age, I would say. Unlike us, the Neopet generation, who started using internet in our free time in secondary school, children as young as two are being exposed to the internet in school, at home, and they learn so quickly, like what to press to get what they want.
Yeah, Neopets, I have fond memories of sneaking into the computer room after classes ended just to feed them and battle. Because, you know, I can't feed them at home, so I need to do it in school and then quickly run home after that so my parents don't find out.
Yes, but unlike those days where our internet access was like restricted to only school, almost every kid these days, you know, have access to an internet device from home. So some of whom already have their own personal devices that they use for schoolwork and research.
Yes, it's completely different for kids these days, especially during the pandemic. Many preschool children, they were exposed to online learning lessons, while primary and secondary school students did most of their lesson submissions online as well through this SLS thing that I'm hearing about.
Yes, so at some point, I realized just one laptop or a tablet isn't enough for four kids to share. So during the circuit breaker, I was at lost. Because we don't have enough gadget to go around just to make sure that their daily lessons wasn't interrupted. So in order to make things happen, we have to use spare phone in the house and then, you know, cast it to the smart TV because the screen is just too small. So I nearly went crazy just scheduling and staggering lessons for my three older kids so their lessons won't clash.
The thing is, because exposure to the internet has been something that has come up so quickly and become so commonplace in such a short time, there hasn't been much opportunity for child development experts to understand and theorize the possible impacts that it has had on children, their learning journeys, and the potential exposure to threats.
So the COVID situation especially accelerated this digital transformation in early childhood education. It forced educators and enrichment centers to move online when previously face-to-face interactions were seen as the norm.
Yes, and the key issue here for most parents is time and supervision. So ask yourself these questions. When your child is spending time interacting online, is your child supervised? Is the time that your child spends online overly excessive? The danger about very young children using the internet is their reading ability isn't there yet, and their impulse control is also not yet matured. So there are many ways one can get the attention of a preschooler while maliciously hiding their intentions. So it could be a cute character or replacing some scenes in a popular video with unsafe content or visually attractive pop-up enticing the child to click on it.
So even if the parent works from home, even if you try your best to educate your child, the internet is rapidly changing and who knows what new dangers or risk will appear. So for parents with multiple children, we only have one set of eyes. So it's really tiring, you know, trying to manage and supervise all of them. So as for the time spent, I always encourage them to like take a break and expose them to many different activities that they enjoy so that they can see and feel, you know, different life experiences, which makes spending time online not as attractive.
Yes, that's very important because think about it. If adults can get scammed, conned, and lose their privacy, innocence, and their life savings, what more young, vulnerable children who are easily persuaded and they don't possess the knowledge of how to exit a dangerous situation?
Yes. And then, you know, I always tell my children, right, if there is anything wrong or suspicious, just shut down. You know, like close the computer and move away, or just shout and call mommy, you know, yes, for help.
But what if they are in the middle of an online lesson or the predator keeps messaging them? Or what if a malicious software has already been downloaded and they have revealed their home address or they are pressured into an offline meeting? You know, researchers who conducted the 2020 Child Online Safety Report, which included data of more than 145,000 children aged 8 to 12 years old, found that 60% of them had been exposed to cyber threats, which included exposure to cyber bullying, reputational risks, sexual or violent content, phishing, hacking, offline meetings, and gaming disorders.
These are really uncomfortable truths, but you know, truths no parent really wants to think about. The thing is, many parents delay this uncomfortable and unpleasant discussion with their children about the dangers of social media. But as the study has shown, children are exposed to this risk at a very young age. So it's best for children to preemptively discuss this so that children have some sort of awareness to filter and process it. So if and when it actually happens.
Yes, and you know, now younger and younger children are getting exposure and unsupervised time with mobile phones. And researchers noted that children who have their own mobiles have a higher risk of about 70%. While those who are highly active on social media or have a gaming presence face a significantly higher risk of 89%. So given that the average age for children to begin owning their phones is becoming younger and younger.
So like I decided to get Bella a smartwatch because she just started primary school this year. So given that she's at an age where I allow her to move around on her own, like going to the library while I do my marketing, I know that my instructions are pretty clear and straightforward, but I would still call her on her watch, you know, just to make sure that she's aware of the time and the place that we are supposed to meet. I decided against a phone because there is really not much that I can control. If I were to give her a smartphone and I don't really want to deal with the younger siblings, you know, feeling jealous at the same time.
Yes, and you know, a local study run by NTU in 2017 found that 9-year-olds spend approximately 3.5 hours daily dedicated to the screen, with 52% of them possessing their own device. So at primary 3 years old, 52% of them have their own phone. While 12-year-olds, 70% of whom had their own mobile device, spend 46 hours a week or more than 6.5 hours per day on screens, with 77% of them active on social media and chat apps. And this is even where most social media platforms, the minimum age is 13 years old. So where are these 70% of, you know, 12-year-olds getting on online for? You know, why do they have their own social media accounts? So, you know, this was a study conducted 4 years ago. So imagine the changes now, especially after preschools and enrichment centers have embraced online lessons and chat apps are now the norm in communicating with children and their parents.
Wow, like 6.5 hours? You know, that's
It's a long time. It's a long part of your day. It's one quarter of your day, basically. Then a more recent study conducted by Straits Times found that 2/3 of children aged 7 to 9 in Singapore use smartphones every day, and more than 40% of them having their own Facebook accounts, while 1/4 of them are on Instagram. So again, how is it that they have their own social media accounts when the minimum age to set up an account on social media like Facebook and Instagram is 13 years of age? So, you know, there's a lot of false information there going around. And 1/3 of the parents admitted that they don't know who their children interact with on social media.
I have to admit that my children are exposed to most like Facebook and IG through my own interaction on social social media. So I do little videos on my IG stories, you know, that include them, and I do post their photos on Facebook and Instagram. And I am aware of the possible dangers of posting them online. Like, would we be stalked? Would there be cyber bullies out there? How would my children react in public if they are being recognized, you know, and so much more? Then again, on the other side, this is the way where we keep ourselves updated with friends, you know, like their day-to-day and our day-to-day. So this is how we like kind of like share information.
So have you discussed these threats and dangers with your children? And if your children were to set up their own accounts, since most of their peers seem to be having their own accounts, how would you feel as a mother?
So at this moment, I would say no. And I'm pretty much a tiger mama. So because there are just too many scams around, you know, then they are not old enough to understand what sorts of action will cause danger and harm themselves and the people around them. So, and being a tiger mom, I would like to know all of her friends as much as possible. So in addition, I personally prefer face-to-face interaction instead. At least it's not as ambiguous and cold, you know, compared to like text messages.
That's right. And you know, if it's ambiguous and cold to us adults, then what more for children when they're still learning how to deal with social situations?
Mm.
Based on the Straits Times survey, the most popular social media platforms for children in Singapore now are WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
TikTok. Oh my God. You know, like speaking of TikTok, can I tell you how dangerous it can get? Like not too long ago, I read this article about a 4-year-old who wrapped cords around her neck to imitate this viral TikTok video where a TikToker so-called became a ghost after doing that. So luckily, the mother was around to stop this and save her life before anything could happen. No, but she could have just died, you know?
Yes, and the thing about social media is a lot of things can be edited to look good or look a certain way. They look fake and they create all these visual tricks and they make people, like, you know, appear to do things or magic through editing. And children in their early development, they pretty much learn how to live life, how to communicate, how to do anything and everything by copying and imitating others. So this is how they learn how to speak, how they learn to go to the potty, how they learn to put on their clothes. It's all through observing, copying, and imitating. And when they see things on social media, they don't have the maturity to discern that this is not real. This is not something I can realistically copy. The person is actually doing a trick and that this is not safe.
Right, you know, after all, I'm not with my children 24/7. I can't control like what they see, especially when they go to primary school, where older children whom they mix with may have their own mobile devices or, you know, show them certain things when I'm not around. So the best that I can do as a parent is to communicate verbally as much as we can to the children and also among ourselves, like with friends and relatives. No, remember, our children mirror whatever we do. So if we are always on our phone and not giving them attention, they would be so wired to the phone that, you know, this is where I should get my attention from. So thus, as much as possible, being physically there for your children is really very important.
Honestly, I haven't thought that far yet, but I am quite conscious about social media platforms and I try not to expose my children to it. I also don't post as many pictures and I take special care not to post anything that's too embarrassing or revealing because I do realize that the internet is forever. And just like how Chrissy Teigen, you know, her tweets posted in 2009 came back to bite her very recently. That's 12 whole years, you know, an entire decade later. And right now she was basically at the peak of her career as a published cookbook author and celebrity. So, you know, children, they have no filter to what they post online. And I don't want my actions today or their actions when they are young to be the cause of their future embarrassment or so-called cancellation in society later on down the road.
Right. It is so tough, isn't it? Like, don't you get relatives and all asking for photos? And then they go on and circulate it themselves because you didn't like post it on social media.
Yes, I mean, I definitely do get my parents and my relatives comparing me and my cousin, because my cousin posts a lot of photos of her child and they are like, oh, then how about your child? What does your child look like now? You never show us photo. But I try to do so without infringing on my children's privacy too much. It's a fine balance. And I may regret not having as many photos of my children as I think I should. But I think what's important is being present in the moment, being present with them and spending that quality time rather than focusing on a pretty shot.
Right. So my approach for social media is that it's a platform where I could write and document our daily lives. So when the children are like much older, they can look back at these photos and videos and reminisce like, you know, about the past. I mean, I'm sure that there are many occasions where either of us, you know, like cannot remember certain events, no matter how hard we try, right? So yeah. So this is where they can, you know, go back and try to pull out all those forgotten memories.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I guess by showing them how we use our social media platforms, it also serves as a good example to guide them on how they should use it as well. So hopefully teaching my children my preferred way of using my platforms will influence them how to use them. And I hope that they don't post revealing or embarrassing photos of themselves on their own social media accounts, you know. So for example, WhatsApp, we primarily try to use it to call my parents or their own friends, especially when there are stricter movement controls, then they felt a bit lonely. And videos, I try to watch more educational ones with my kids, and I never use YouTube or Facebook. I'm very happy to pay for Netflix and Disney Plus because I feel those are much safer platforms in the sense that all the content is verified and of a certain quality. And also for both Netflix and Disney Plus, there's the option to set up a kids account, which ensures that the content they watch is somewhat age appropriate.
So speaking of YouTube, you know, sometime back there was this like whole, you know, the whole Momo incident.
What Momo incident? Momo is peach, right, in Japanese?
No. Okay, it is this like scary looking creature who, you know, randomly appear on videos that is on YouTube.
What do you mean random? Like how did it, like, it was a pop-up?
So what actually happened was that some person got kids content and then inserted this scary Momo character in between the videos for no reason at all. And some children got like really traumatized by the experience. So when watching YouTube, right, there is really no control on what is going to be shown next. So without supervision, we can't really control what the kids are watching, especially when they are left alone by helpers or grandparents.
I can only imagine. I mean, I'm an adult and I'm still so, so weak to horror. I get the chills and nightmares for several weeks after just watching one movie. So imagine children being exposed to that.
Exactly. And this wasn't just one-off incident, all right? So in 2019, there were several like Peppa Pig videos that were up on YouTube, and they were like videos that is of like self-harm and suicide messages.
Wow, does YouTube have no parental controls or restrictions regarding this?
So I am not too sure, but I suppose that unlike text, you know, video is much harder a medium to verify, to monitor and censor, especially when YouTube is a platform with thousands of videos, you know, uploaded daily. At the same time, parents and caregivers cannot be expected to, you know, to sit next to your child for every single video they watch. You know, sometimes it's really our precious moment to breathe and take a break.
Yeah, I agree. That's why for me, I really feel that paid subscriptions like Netflix and Disney Plus are godsend, because it's guaranteed content without advertisements that might be inappropriate, because YouTube has lots of advertisements now, and without people splicing in all this, you know, inappropriate content. And there are no other buttons that may lead to unsolicited interactions with others.
Yes. And so for every parent who is out there, you know, worrying, our team has come up with a few tips on how parents can educate their children on the dangers of social media and how you can try to guide your child's understanding and use of media in general. So check it out on our blog, www.mumsclub.sg.
Another thing I found interesting from the Straits Times study is that while 80% of the parents were very concerned about their children's use of social media, about 50% of those with secondary school age children felt that they could not interfere because it would affect their relationship with their children. So reading this, I got a little bit worried. Will this be my future in the next 10 years? How can I protect my relationship with my child while doing my best to protect him and her from inappropriate content without seeming too suffocating?
Right. And you know, right, with social media, the number of followers you have shows how cool, how popular, or even like how well liked you are. So being a teenager where you have a whole load of, you know, raging hormones and wanting to be cool and accepted by your own peers, so you will do whatever it takes, you know, without too much consideration. So furthermore, because their brain hasn't fully developed, they are very likely to react negatively to any bad comments, remarks, you know, passed by anybody like friends or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's the general understanding of what teenagers are like, that they are super emotional and super sensitive about popularity. But honestly, for me, I was a total and complete bookworm. Completely lost in my books, and I hardly went out with my friends after school on weekends because I was so comfortable, you know, escaping the fantasy land through my novels. So that is my own personal experience. So I don't know how I am going to deal with my hypersensitive and emotional teenager or pre-teenager next time, because I was hoping that she'll turn out like me, but it's so obvious right now that her personality is completely different. So I don't know how that's gonna turn out. So I'm gonna call you, okay?
So, you know, like, you know, at the end of the day, our lives don't solely exist for our children. I mean, I feel very passionate about this, and I spoke about this in my last podcast. It is okay. I mean, it is forgivable if we let things go on and live our lives for ourselves. Okay, it's not selfish, all right? So what is definitely important, though, is building character, building awareness, engaging your child, you know, like meaningfully in quality interactions, and making sure your child is open to discussing like things with you.
Right. And this is not just applicable for teenagers though, because I've already noticed that my daughter already developed feelings of embarrassment and anger when I try my best to pop into her online learning class. So I wanted to sit next to her doing her guru because it's very fast paced and I don't understand the worksheet. And she pushed me away, you know. She said, "Mommy, go away!" As if I was some horrible creature. But at that moment, I realized that, okay, I need to step back, okay. And this is her when she's 6 years old. So how much worse would it be when she's 12?
Right. I mean, I know myself. I wasn't an easy teenager myself, all right? So we do have a few mommy hacks and tips on how parents can build their relationship and handle negotiation and different situations with care on our blog, www.mumsclub.sg.
Yeah, that was certainly one of our most intense discussions that we had today. And I think that after today, I'll be depriving both my kids and myself from all social media platforms and screen time because I'm kind of scared and freaked out. Yeah.
So if you have loved our episode today, and if you've agreed or got freaked out about anything we've said here today, okay, just share with us your experiences. Reach out to us, you know, via our blog, our WhatsApp chat. We do have a chat now. So there will be a link that I will include in the blog. So and also our IG and Facebook. So we would love to hear from you.
Next week on Mummy Matters, we'll be talking about something positive. Our dreams. What are your dreams for your children? What do parents of today value most? Academics, values, independence, character, or occupation?
So So how are parents achieving their dreams? We will share some inspiring stories from our parent community. So tune in next Monday on Mummy Matters to find out. This is Pam and Ruth signing off.
Bye.